Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
I could sing of your love forever. could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 And oh, I feel like dancing, and it's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. I could sing of your love forever.
Sorry.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. What a wonderful name. What a wonderful name, Jesus. prevailed o'er before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus, your name's powerful. Jesus, we call upon your name, Jesus. We cry out to Jesus, Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil torn before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you,
Grateful that we have freedom to worship you this morning, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Lord, help us to worship and give thanks to you, Jesus.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given.
Lord, we come before you this morning as we start this portion of our service and we dig into your word, we want to dedicate our time to you. Lord, I pray for open ears. I pray for a tender heart. I pray that we would be ready to receive what you have for each and every one of us, Father God. Lord, I know, I believe truly that you have words to speak to us individually, and I pray, Father God, that you would indeed do that, that we would not be consumed with everybody around us or who else should be listening to this, but that we would tune in to you this morning, that your Holy Spirit would penetrate our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Lord, we want to take some time this morning to lift up a couple of people before you this morning. Father, I think of the Cox family, Adam and Emily and their kids, all diagnosed positive with COVID up in Dearborn this morning. Lord, I pray right now for your hand to minister to them. I ask that you would speak to their flesh. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you would touch them, clear up this virus, take it away in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know there's some anxiety there. I know there's some concern there because they may have inadvertently exposed others. Lord, I just pray that you would bring peace to their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection about those that they have been in contact with. Lord, I pray that you, Father God, would be glorified in and through all of that situation. This morning, I lift up the Hill family to you, Father God. Both Bailey and Lily being diagnosed as COVID positive. Lord, they too isolate themselves. They too are in quarantine for the next several days. Lord, would you speak to them? Would you take away the discomfort? Give them back that sense of taste and smell. Lord, take away the infection that has entered into their body. And Lord, protect the rest of the family. Lord, as those that have tested negative are still together with them in their home, protect them. Watch over them. Keep them virus free and put your hedge of protection about them, Father God. Lord, we pray for restoration in their bodies. We pray for renewal in their bodies. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that they would be able to be back with us worshiping sooner than imagined, Father God, because you have kept them clean, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask these things in your name. And again, we pray this morning for your direction and guidance throughout your word this morning, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, we started talking about prayer. The goal or the focus was for us to understand that things happen when we pray. We don't speak empty words directed at the ceiling. The words that roll off of our lips do not go unheard. They do not fall on deaf ears. When we pray, as God has called us to pray, things happen. Things change. Breakthroughs occur. And so on. One of the key phrases that we looked at last week was made by Pastor Louis Giglio, and it was this: if we could see what happens when we pray. And I underline that word see, because that's kind of the key to what we talked about last week. If we could see what happens when we pray. Our problem is we focus too much on the tangible. We focus in on the things that we can experience. How much more would we pray if we could see what happens when we pray? It would be incredible. As we closed our message last week, we prayed and we asked God to open up that curtain. Let us just get a peek at what happens when we pray. Whether it was through dreams or visions or however God would choose to show us, Help us that we might actually see what happens, how incredible that would be. This morning, I have a question for you. This is not a question I want you to answer out loud. This is not a question you have to justify to me. This is one of those questions that only matters, your honesty only matters to God. It's to Him that you must really answer this question honestly. So here it is. Here's the question I have for you this morning. Did any of last Sunday's message make any difference in your prayer life over the last week? Did any of the message make any difference in your prayer? And this is not to give me accolades or pat me on the back. Don't misunderstand that. Did anything make any difference in your prayer life last week? Was there any additional hunger? Was there any more desire than before to experience what God can and will do when we pray? Did we leave thinking about the incredible events recorded throughout Scripture for us to grab a hold of as examples of what can happen when we pray? We're going to spend a few more weeks talking about this subject of prayer. And if you were to ask me why, this would be my response. Because the 21st century church has forgotten what it means to really pray. Roll that video clip, please.
It's been a part of humanity in every age. We fight for power, for riches, for rights, or for freedom. There always seems to be something to fight for. But one thing has remained true of every war. Behind the field of battle, someone has developed a strategy. This was part of my husband's role in the army. He would look at what the enemy was doing, then begin putting together the resources and a plan to fight against them. He was a crucial part of this process until a heart attack claimed his life. That was a hard time for me and our son. I was reminded that death is a part of life and that the life we're given should never be taken for granted. It's been 40 years since Leo passed, but I still hold on to the many lessons I learned from that time. I find myself amazed that of the many battles we engage in today, be it money, control, or matters of the heart, very few of us know how to fight the right way or understand who we're really fighting against. To win any battle, you've got to have the right strategy and resources, because victories don't come by accident.
We are in the midst of war. Like it or not, we are soldiers in a battle. The clip just said war has been a part of humanity in every age. There's always been something that we are fighting for. And the outcome of each and every one of those battles, lies heavily on the plan that has been drawn up. You see, from the moment that we entered this world, we became engaged in that battle that I just referred to. It's a battle that has eternal consequences. In this battle, the war can only be effectively fought as we fall on our knees in prayer. No amount of hard work, no amount of education, no amount of sacrifice matters as much as prayer does. And yet the church today has forgotten, and sadly in many cases, not only have we forgotten about the battle and about how it's fought, we've even forgotten who the true enemy is. We may not be even sure of how to properly use the weapons that have been provided for us to fight this war. And the first indication of that would be simply taking a look at our priority map. When it comes to what matters most, what is it that gets our priority? When it comes to prayer, we tend to have it all backwards. See, we put together our to-do list for the day, and we think of all the things that we have to accomplish for the day. And then whenever, if ever, time allows, then we take a few moments to spend time in prayer. Many times that dedicated prayer, that we call it, happens while we're doing something else. We just like to call it multitasking. We've put a nice little name to it. But in reality, we really should be doing things the exact opposite way that we are doing them. See, we should plan for, we should make time for, we should prioritize prayer by itself and then deal with everything else that has to be dealt with on a daily basis. We can see a similar concept to this idea if you look at tithing, or if you talk about tithing, and that's another lesson for another day. But you know the saying, tithe first and watch how God will meet your every need. Whether the math makes sense or not, honor God in that tithing and He'll take care of everything else. In fact, Malachi chapter 3 even tells us to test God in that. Do you know how powerful those words are right there? Test God in that? That's what he says about tithing. Those are some deep words, and we can see prayer in a very similar light. Make that time every single day for prayer and see what God does with that. Guarantee you He will honor that time. He will bless that time. He will give you a new, a fresh, a different perspective on life and people and circumstances and what lies ahead for you, because you honor that dedicated time to prayer. Please understand for just a minute, we can pray while doing other things. And we'll come back to that. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We can do that. But we should also have a dedicated time to pray, to spend with the Lord. Two things we're going to take a look at this morning in regards to prayer. First of all, if prayer is engaging in a battle, who is it that we're fighting against? And secondly, is there a biblically mandated time of day to pray? The first one is very easy and a very clean answer, quite honestly. And yet, quite honestly, it also provides us or presents us with a ridiculous amount of trouble in our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. One of the most destructive issues when fighting a war is not understanding who the enemy is. If we do not know who it is we are fighting against, we have a real problem. You can't win a war when you don't know who you are fighting. Ephesians 6 made that pretty clear. Our fight, our battle that we are engaged in as Christians is not against flesh and blood. It's against evil. It's against Satan. The struggles that we face ultimately come from him. Let's look at this again. We want the tangible enemy. We want to see the enemy. We want to see who we're engaging in battle. We want to know just what it is we're fighting for. And we want a face or a circumstance right in front of us to focus in on. And that's where we tend to run into trouble. In our minds, in our human perspectives, we stop and we look at things this way. When the boss or the company does something we don't like, they become the enemy. When the coach of our child's sports team makes a decision we don't like, that coach becomes the enemy. When the government does something that does not benefit me, they become the enemy. Even our spouse, when they disagree with me, they become the enemy. We could keep going and talk about all those things that we like to make the enemy that are not the enemy. When it comes to that focal point, we want something tangible. And we struggle with that. Our thought process gets out of whack in regards to that. The real enemy, when we do that, when we focus in on a person or a circumstance or that item, then the real enemy wins because he has misdirected our attention. He has got us focused in on a person or an event. People are not the enemy, no matter who they are. People are not the enemy. You know, we're in a very strange time right now, one like I'm not sure we've ever seen before. I will stand here this morning and I will strongly encourage you to get out there and vote on Tuesday if you haven't already. Get out there and vote. Pray about who you're supposed to vote for. Pray about what you're supposed to do. Let God direct your steps in doing all that. But no matter what happens on Tuesday or the months to follow, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats are the enemy. They are not. And we cannot focus in on a person or a group of people. They are not the enemy. The boss, the company, the coach, your spouse, none of them are the enemy. Quite honestly, if we're honest about it, not even the vilest criminal around today is truly the enemy. They've done some horrible things. They've been used in some horrible ways, but they are not the enemy. The true enemy is the one who is behind all of these things and all of this garbage. The true enemy is the one who is doing the deceiving, the twisting, the manipulating, the destroying of anyone who will listen to him. John describes him as a thief. And that's a great way to think about him, because that's what he does. He steals your joy. He steals your good. He is a thief. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. There may be a person standing right in front of us. There may be a person who is speaking words that are hurtful or harmful or whatever they might be, but that person is not the enemy. And we have to remember that. Satan will manipulate people. He will manipulate circumstances. He will do anything he can do specifically to destroy us, God's children. Amen. Satan is the one who causes all of this wickedness, all of the different things that are angering us and causing us frustration. He is the one who tries to blind us, or worse yet, ultimately use people and circumstances to get us to pull away from God or to walk away from our faith altogether. Satan will use anyone and any situation he can to wreak havoc on what we see. He uses those tangible things to pull us down and destroy us. It brings us right back to that whole concept of our struggle with tangible things, tangible items, tangible people that stand before us that we want to focus in on, when our focus should be on the enemy. And to understand a little bit just how deep he will reach, he will use people, he will use circumstances, and people involved in those circumstances won't even know that they have been used. They won't have a clue that they've offended you or that they've done something to cause you pain or struggle. And guess what? He does that even with our close friends and sometimes our loved ones. He will work through anybody to try to create havoc in a situation. Peter tells us to watch out for this, tells us to be careful about this. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Look at the words up there. Be alert. Pay attention. Understand what's going on. And realize that the enemy is looking to devour. Not cause a little discomfort. Not maybe, you know, a scratch or something. He's looking to devour. His goal is to destroy. The real enemy is always on the hunt for a person or a situation to manipulate. And when he finds it, he will do his very best to steal, kill, and destroy anyone that is involved. So while from a human perspective we want a tangible person or something to focus in on to blame, we have to remember that the war we are in, the fight we are fighting, is not against the flesh and blood that stands before us. It's a battle that can only be addressed in the heavenly realms. It's a fight that rages while we are on our knees in prayer. That's how we have victory. That's how we win the battles. That's how we are able to mend fences and work through difficult situations and consider trials pure joy. It's when we are on our knees in prayer. And while we're there, don't forget to pray that God's will be done. This isn't about us getting what we want accomplished in our lives. It's about surrendering to God and praying that His will is done in our lives, in our circumstances. And while we're there, It is absolutely okay to ask him to move those mountains and dispatch those angels and open those doors and change those hearts. Just like we talked about last week. You know something else? He wants us to express to him our hurts, our sorrows, our struggles. He wants to hear those from us. He will remind us where those struggles and sorrows and hurts come from, but he wants us to talk to him about them. He wants us to know that we can come before him for that comfort that we so desire. He wants us to pray about that disagreement that we just had with a very close friend or loved one. He wants us to talk to him about the hurt that we are experiencing because of all this garbage that COVID has caused in our lives. He wants us to share that with him. The enemy is not the person that stands before us. There is a real enemy that we need to focus in on when we fight the fight. He is called, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of this air. In order to have victory in the war we face, we must understand who the true enemy is. Not just what stands before us, but who the real enemy is. The second thing quickly this morning that I posed to you, the question that was there is there a biblically mandated time of day to pray? The answer might just surprise you this morning. King James Version answers the question with three simple words. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. The NIV simply says pray continually. So if we're looking for a biblically mandated specific time of day to pray, it's right there in front of you, always. That's when we're supposed to pray. Always. Pastor Kurt, I don't like that one. What else you got? Psalm 88:13. I cry out to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Psalm 55:17. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Psalm 119:164. Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Daniel 6:10. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Tired of the Old Testament? Let's look at the New Testament. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning. Ooh, words we don't like to hear. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. A little bit later in Mark, it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And if you read through that account, you'll understand what an incredibly long day that was. He had to have been, from a human perspective, absolutely exhausted. And yet it says in Mark 6:46, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. There's other references in Scripture that talk about praying at the 3rd, 6th, and 9th hours. By our time clock, that would be 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. God is not bound by a time clock like you and I are. He does not have this appointed time to listen to different regions around the world. Sorry, I can only listen to the Middle East right now. Sorry, that's not how God works. As we mature in our walk, or might I say, as we learn to become holy, as we learn to mature in our walk, we need to learn to pray and to pray without ceasing, which can be done. We read that scripture and we like to think of that direction or that scripture as hyperbole. We like to think of it as this extreme example that is not meant to be taken literally. Hyperbole is used in scripture, but this is not one of the spots that it's used. We can learn to pray continually. I found this quote about praying continually, and I liked it, so I'm going to share it with you this morning. Praying continually. It's like keeping the radio playing in the background. Stay tuned in and talk to God as you go throughout the day. How do we learn to pray throughout the day? Well, first of all, there's several things we can pray about without question. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. We've all heard of that before. Express to Him our thanks for all that He's done in our life. Share with Him, as we talked a moment ago, about our feelings, our hurts, our anger, all of it. Trust me, God can handle it. It's not too much for Him. When the situation arises, give whatever is troubling you to Him. Again, He can handle it. He'll take care of it. We need to have those designated times of focused prayer, yes. That's what we talked about earlier. But that doesn't mean we can't talk to God the rest of the day while we're doing whatever else it is we're doing. It doesn't matter if we're working or cleaning or walking or just sitting around. We can still be tuned in to God. If you look at your day, how much of it is spent waiting on something, sitting in line, waiting to pick up the kids from school, at the airport, sitting at a terminal, waiting to catch your plane, in the doctor's office, waiting to get into your schedule when the doctor's an hour and a half behind. All of those times are prime times to pray. See, when the radio is already tuned in, all we have to do is jump right back into that conversation with God. You know, when we go through our day, as soon as we know we've made an error, stop, confess it, repent, ask the Lord to help you through it and to get past whatever that error was. And sometimes praying continually means just being quiet for a few moments. We do a lot of talking and not enough listening sometimes. So sometimes praying continually just means being still, being quiet. No matter when your personal, quiet, devoted time of prayer is during the day, the rest of the time, keep the radio tuned in so that you can maintain that connection with God. Why? Because we are in a war, a spiritual war that is raging all around us and has been throughout the ages. This war will never, never be successfully navigated through if we do not know who our real enemy is. And if we don't learn how to fight each battle appropriately, using all of those strategies and resources that we have been given. You see, victories don't come by accident. Prayer takes work. If you want to see victories in your life, then you are going to have to spend time in prayer. And prayer takes work. So today we end with another question. Are you willing to put in the work to see the victory? Father, we come before you this morning. We put ourselves in your hands yet again this morning, Father God, acknowledging our shortcomings, acknowledging our faults, acknowledging, Lord, our humanness. Lord, we struggle with blaming people and things and situations that go wrong in our life when the real enemy is behind the scenes attacking us. Lord, help us to remember who the real enemy is. Father, I pray that you would help us to be engaged in the battle as we're supposed to be, on our knees. On our knees in the throne room of God. Lord, help us to have the right attitude, the right mindset, Father God. And Lord, I pray, that every one of us in this church, in this day and age, in this year, that we would learn the importance of prayer. Not just a dedicated 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 minutes a day, but God, that we would begin to realize what it means to pray continually, to be tuned into you all day, every day, to hear, to receive, to listen, so that when circumstances arise, we jump right into that battle without thinking about it, without having to reset ourselves, but God, just to be able to tune right back in with you, to be focused on you. Lord, help us. Help us to be the warriors, the prayer warriors that you have called us to be. And help us to honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. With that, we send you off today with a prayer blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning and the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Oh. Amen.